I want to preface this communion time with the word he gave when I was first aware of his speaking to my heart this morning, and I want to share this with you before we take what God has provided, which is some awesome bread that a man delivered yesterday?
No, the day before yesterday.
Friday, Good Friday, correct. Yeah. At the 11 o'clock service, a nice big box came with what you see there, and it's ready for us. But this is what I heard, and I wrote it down because there was such a press. He is alive, and the tomb is empty. He is alive. I have risen with him in my baptism. Yes, I am alive forevermore. Never will I taste the despair of death, for I have risen. Do you and I believe this?
Yeah.
How many had hesitation? How many couldn't speak it? I remember in a season in my life that I couldn't speak it. So if you're the type of person that couldn't speak that, it's because there were doubts that are plaguing. Pressure is being applied to try to stop you from the commitment that God has given you, which is Christ Jesus alive in each of us. Meaning that the grave, even though people who are believers die, they will not remain dead. And Christ is the center of that message. And if he had not come out of the grave, he would be just like every other great man that has lived in the earth. And we could go to his tomb today, look at his casket, or look at the place where he's been buried, or dig up his old flesh. And the other day, I was watching a program on Discovery Channel or whatever, and they were exhuming some saint that his body is not deteriorated. And they were all bent out of shape over this. And I thought, all this waste of time digging up an old corpse, looking at his dead flesh, and getting all excited. Yeah, you should be giggling. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's not going to happen with me. Why? Why isn't it going to happen with you? Because you know why? Because Christ is alive in you. His resurrection power is in you now. It's not going to happen next year. It's already there. Now you activate it. How? By declaring with your mouth and believing with your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You become born again by believing with your heart. Declaring it out of your lips. And then the enemy says, didn't work for you. How many of you have learned that one already? Didn't work for you. You didn't say it right. It's not the right formula, blah, blah, blah. And he pushes all kinds of buttons.
But he's a liar.
Thank you. Well, yes, give our sister a clap offering. You know why? Because she's only one that had guts to tell you the truth. Uh-huh. Well, that's why Maria came this morning, to give you a piece of truth. He's a liar. And do you know something? Peter was caught in that trap. James and John were caught in that trap. Famous Thomas was caught in that trap. Amen?
Amen.
The girls came back and they were all excited on Resurrection Sunday. And they were jumping up and down. He's alive, he's alive. And they said, con on women, as usual. You and your visions. Come on. Can you relate? How many have ever picked on a woman before? Come on, guys, have courage. Thank you.
I have.
Okay. How many women have picked on women? Thank you. There we go. We got some truthful people here. But you understand where I'm coming from this morning. Before we consecrate this, And before we bless it unto Him, so that it can become more and more involved in our everyday existence, then we will realize why we resurrect and why we resurrect now, not after we've tasted of the grave. We resurrect now. Now, there was another lady, and she had a brother who died, and I could go there. How many know about Lazarus? And the Lord said, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I'll be. Did he?
No.
He declared, I am the resurrection. Are you ready? I want you to find a person, look him in the eye. Say, I'm going to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And I'm declaring to you right now. The resurrection is alive in me. The I am. The great God. Of all creation. He's alive in me. He's alive in me now. And He's rising within me. As these words go out of my heart. As I believe it with all of who I am, I'll never be the same. Because the resurrection is alive in me now. The resurrection is alive in me now. The resurrection is alive in me now. Hallelujah. Okay, if you've got your Bible with you, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Now, you've got to remember that a lot of times when we're talking about Peter, we're talking about a man who feels that he's a sinful man. He also says, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. So he knows about the sinful nature of himself, but he doesn't know about the spiritual nature of himself. So all of us start out and we realize we are sinful. And we make mistakes. In case you haven't looked, take a good peek and you'll see that a few boo-boos in your background would qualify you. Okay? Now, you have to take that into context when Peter is writing his letter. Because he is the type of man who has been changed dramatically by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And when he's writing this letter, he has lived both as a sinner and as a saint. So if you take that into consideration, you're going to have a little bit of background music for you about yourself. Because we all start out with failures upon failures upon failures. And if we are wise, those failures will be stepping stones to a greater walk with Christ. And we're going to develop into better and better saints. Now, how long is it going to take? As long as it takes. Don't have an answer to that. Okay? Peter got to know himself in 3.5 years. And even then, at the last minute, when it got real difficult, and Jesus let himself be caught and then crucified, that was too much for him. How many have ever seen a saint of God go through all kinds of hardship? Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, you watch them go through it. Well, if they're a Christian, I mean, who the heck wants to follow them? Who wants to follow Christ? Look at what they're going through. But they're not going through it alone. See, that's the difference between the believer and the non-believer. The non-believer will go through the mess alone. The believer will go through the same mess, but he has the Lord with him, turning things into good. And that's what's important. You need to remember that if you go through something as a believer, you're always going to have him with you and to discuss things with him, to talk about it, and to go to him when you need it. Chapter 1, 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostle word means sent one. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, etc., etc., who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Look at your neighbor, say, I was chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. That settled it, right? Chosen by Him? That's it. Bottom line. Okay? So it's not because so-and-so did this and that. It's because Jesus said, you're coming my way, man.
Amen.
Okay? Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So sanctification isn't something that you sanctify yourself. And how many have tried to get themselves holy? And all you discovered is you're full of holes. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. You discover, oh my God, I can't do it. I tried and I can't do it. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's when you realize that the Holy Spirit will sanctify you for the obedience to Jesus Christ. So you see, I want to back it up. Who, verse 2, have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling by His blood. So that tells you the roundabout way how you get to be a believer. And how you're going to go forward as a believer. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace and peace be yours on a limited basis. Which is the truth?
Abundance.
Okay? One of the words that came out of Doug's mouth several times was the flood of grace and the ocean of grace. What's a flood? Is it something you can manage?
No.
It's not under your control. What about an ocean of grace? You're not going to control it. It's intended to flood you and to change you so that you cannot be relying on your self-holiness or your own holiness or your own works of holiness. It doesn't work. The more you try, the more you get disgusted with themselves. How many have ever been disgusted with seeing the stupidity of their choices? After the fact. It's after the fact that you know it. You don't know it before because you think, yeah, it's going to work out. And all of a sudden, pshoom, your nose dive. Why? Because God wants to let you know that He sent His Holy Ghost to change and sanctify you, not you doing it to yourself. Verse 3, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did you get it? How did you get all these benefits? Through the resurrection. Is that what your Bible says? Through the resurrection. You see, why does this resurrection mean so much to the Christian world? It's because every other place that you visit with these great religions, there's usually a tomb. And it's got a dead body in it. They go to Mecca. To what? What's in Mecca? The great prophet? They worship a stone? I mean, whoa. You go to India? Isn't there Gandhi? And a tomb? Do they make pilgrimage? Is he dead? Did he come out of the grave? Is he coming out of the grave? Not unless he believes that Jesus is the Lord. And He's the Son of God. That's the requirement. You could go to China. They have a great, Buddha and Shintoism. There's a bunch of...
In Tibet?
There's Tibet. They've got a bunch of places where they're buried.
The Dalai Lama. Yeah, the Dalai Lama. They're dead too. Okay? They're dead. But one place, when you go to Jerusalem, that is the most exciting. They even have an argument about which tomb did he really come out of. Because the Christian believers, from a religious standpoint, point to where he was crucified. And then they have a tomb there, and they argue over that. And then there's an exterior outside the city where there's a tomb. And it does seem to be like the one that Jesus would rise out of. At least it's made similar. Okay? And it has this great big huge stone. It's about 7 feet high. And you can go inside the tomb, etc. And there's no body. Proving. Now, I remember the first time that somebody was pushing my buttons about this. And they said, well, how can you prove it? And I said, well, you've been a U.S. citizen for how long? Well, ever since I was born. I said, well, in a court of law in the United States of America, they would choose how many men or women or combinations thereof to judge a case. 12 jurors, right? How many apostles were there? Yeah, because in the book of Acts, Judas was replaced. Okay, and I don't remember his name, but there were 12. And they all gave up their life in a miraculous way rather than to submit to any lie that would be given that Jesus had not risen from the dead. 12 men gave up their lives. Peter even said, bury me upside down. I mean, crucify me upside down. Okay? So 12 people chose to give up their lives. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were boiled in oil and all kinds of persecution. You name it. They went through all kinds of stuff. But they all got killed because they would not bow from that word, resurrection. He is risen. He has risen. And we're not giving up until you get to know that He has risen. And we don't care if you kill this body. We've got a Lord that will rise us back up on the day appointed. So, what am I saying to you? If 12 of these guys gave up their life, then the judge of all judges, the Father Himself, says to you and me, He's risen. He's risen. His resurrection power is still operating in the church today. That's why there are signs and wonders that happen in a church today. In every church? No. But in some. Okay? So, your new birth and living hope is all brought about through the resurrection, verse 3, of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for some of us, or for all of us. All of us, kept in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Did you hear that? What's a shield for? Protection. You're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Or in the last days. You see, I believe, and I believe that Doug was confirming this, we are getting closer and closer and closer to the shift that is going to take place where God's people will begin to radiate the glory of God. And when they begin to radiate the glory of God, you'll be able to tell a believer from the non-believer because one will radiate natural light and one will radiate spiritual light. And that's your vision. It's starting now. It is going to what? Manifest in greater power as we go forward. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So, it's trying to let you know that trials are part of your future. But if you go with it and ask for the help that you need from the Holy Spirit, you'll get it. Verse 7, the purpose of the hardship. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Ha-ha. And may result in praise and glory and honor to yourself. Oh, so I'm getting adjusted, huh? It's not to honor you. It's to honor the one that will give you salvation through the mess. God will raise you up above the hardship. And He will lift you through that situation, and others will look at you very, very strange. Okay? When Jesus Christ is revealed. When Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, the other day, my little great-granddaughter's mom was on the phone. And somebody that she cares about got fired from their job. So she's talking on the phone. And this lady is distraught, upset, tears are rolling. I can just know because they're both communicating. But you can tell by the other conversation, you know, you can read between the lines that it's a tough call. And all of a sudden, this little mother says, by the way, she says, I've been fired before. And she said, when there's a door that closes, a new one will open. Now that's scripture. Okay? My wife piped up. Oh, she says, you sound just like your Pepe. Meaning me. She got off the phone and she said, but it's true, isn't it, ma'am? Relating to my wife, well, it's true, right? I mean, you know, I said it, but now, is it going to be real for her? And my wife said, well, did you believe it? And she says, well, look at what God has done with us. Proof is in the pudding. Okay? So she's giving out words that she has received and giving it to somebody in need. That's Christianity. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of recognizing that even though you're going down, you're going to rise again. Even if you go through a burial situation where you feel that you just got buried alive. Because, you know, it's not too bad to get buried if you're dead. It's when you get buried alive. That's the hot stuff. I mean, how many have ever felt the whole world is just being dumped right on you? Well, with Christ Jesus, you can go to Him and you can say, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now, but You've got a plan of resurrection. You know how to come out of the tomb. Now, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I don't want you to look around. I just want you to keep your eyes closed. Because I know I just touched a nerve. And I don't know who it is. I don't want to know. But I'm going to ask you if you've been feeling those emotions of the whole world has just dumped on you. I want you to put your hand right on your heart. All of you repeat after me, Lord Jesus, these need special help. Reveal yourself to them. Manifest your resurrection out of the hardship that they're living in. Rise them up above the problem. Give them a good boost. Right up in the air. Out of the tomb. Just like Jesus did. And let them come forth with shining light. Just like Jesus. Because they belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? And amen. You see, sometimes you don't want to tell anybody how hard it's been because you're afraid that others will feel the same thing and you're just going to bring them down with you. How many know what I'm talking about? So there are moments when you don't want to open up, but you need to open up to the Lord. And when we pray with one another and we ask God to come into our situation, a beginning of resurrection starts stirring in us. And we begin to have hope again. And we begin to dream again of what God has told us. Now, how many know the enemy has a full-time job of lying? What does he do? He tries to bury your dream. He tries to bury what God has given you as a future dream. Now, if he's on your case, you need Jesus. And you need the Holy Ghost to counsel you and comfort you. And that's why we're raising up right now a time of resurrection for you and me. Okay? Now, verse 7 again. These problems have come that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. So you see, the difficulty has been guiding you into a place of what? Greater refinement. The fire and the hardship is there to make you see, if I keep my faith in God, I'll rise above this problem. If I keep my faith that the Holy Ghost is going to be around me and shield me from this mess, and angels are going to be around me and help me on through, I will be victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, that last verse is probably the most important that I can give you. And if you have your Bible, put a little circle around the word soul. Just a little tiny circle. So that you'll know that there's a salvation of your soul going on. You see, when you're born again, it's not your soul that's born again. It's your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says you're made up of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. When I came to Jesus Christ, I didn't feel a thing. When I bowed my knee and I said, Jesus, come on in, I didn't feel a cotton-picking thing. In fact, if you think that I felt something, I didn't, because the following week I said the same prayer with the same guy, kneeling down on the same kitchen floor a week later, thinking, oh my God, I must have done it wrong. Because I didn't feel nothing. I was looking for a feeling. Well, the word soul means your will, your emotions, and your mind. Your spirit is your area of intuition. Your spirit man is the place where you'll get a little nudge. Go that way. Don't go that way. There's a flood down there and the bridge is out. Yeah. Okay? If you've done something stupid, you'll hear these thoughts come in. Well, you've made a boo-boo. Correct it next time. That's intuition. That's that part of you that says, oh, I've been here before. I wonder why. I think I know that guy and I never met him before. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's your spirit qualities that are coming out. And so it doesn't say here the salvation of your spirit. It says the salvation of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So Jesus is in this ball game with you by his Holy Spirit to bring salvation to your soul. Salvation to your mind, salvation to your emotions, and salvation to your whole being. Spirit, soul, and body. So you see, the salvation of your souls is going to really change who you really are. And that's what church is for. That's why we let people share, so that they'll get an idea. Well, you know what? Maria made it. Oh, Dr. Bob made it. Oh, Judy made it. You understand? We can go around and point at everybody here. Because every single one of us has had a hard day. Sometimes a hard month or a hard year. Sometimes it's a hard 10 years. You need each other. And you need the resurrection power that's in them to help you along your path when you're having a hard time. That's what resurrection means. Rising out of where you were and going higher than you've ever been.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Father God, I've given them what you gave me. And now, Father, I'm trusting your Holy Spirit to bring it to life inside of them. Let it be so real to them as they go forth in this day that they can realize that they're never going to be alone from this day forward. Because I believe that some have said this prayer about the hardship that they've been going through, and they will be able to see the power of resurrection going through them and into those that are hurting, maybe even more than them. Could be a family member, could be somebody that they love, could be somebody that's falling apart. Lord, continue healing them. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
And amen.